Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 3rd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are in the Doctor's Opinion on page XXVI of the fourth edition on paragraph 4, which begins with, "Though we work out our solution." We are going to be studying that paragraph, pulling it apart today alone. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Ellen D., the 12 traditions, Reggie O., and reading the text and support today, Leslie W., Donna W., and Gina R. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12370, 12370, and that was for Thursday, January 3rd. The share ID number for this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for Thursday, that number is 12377, 12377. For January 3rd, Thursday, 7 a.m. meeting. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Ellen D. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. Ellen D. in Texas recovered for today. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Ellen. That was Ellen D. I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Reggie O. In Greater Los Angeles area, and here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And grateful for the opportunity to be of service this morning.
Thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and this would be the star 1 option, please, only. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the doctor's opinion on page XXVI, 4th edition, 4th paragraph. Though we work out our solution is where we'll begin, and we're going to unpack one paragraph today. And I will ask Leslie W. to read that paragraph and share on that for us today. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, for your service today. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as an altruistic plane, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who is very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached, as he has then a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. Okay. What does it mean to work out our solution on a spiritual and altruistic plane? For me, you know, that is, it talks about it as two separate components. And the spiritual work for me is my step work. And that doesn't stop when I get to step 12. For me, it does continue. That was not welcome news to me when I first began this program, because I saw the 12 steps and I thought, great, when I get to step 12, then I'll be done and I can blow this popsicle stand and go on my merry way. But, you know, the work continues, as you hear on this line. People say that all the time, because it does, if you want to stay in a recovered state of mind and body. And so that's every day, you know, taking my inventory, looking at what's going on in my life, looking at how I'm behaving, asking myself, have I been resentful, dishonest, selfish, or afraid today? And then, you know, making sure that I'm getting my prayer time in every day for my 11th step. And then the 12th step has more to do with that altruistic plane, service to others. Of course, that means that I'm sponsoring, for I cannot stay recovered in that state if I do not sponsor, if I do not share my recovery with another. And altruism is defined as the unselfish regard or devotion to the welfare of others. And that's what I'm doing when I'm giving my time to another person and offering that up to them, offering my experience, strength, and hope to them, being available to them. And I also practice that in my family life. And it has taken a while for me to learn how to do that. I'm still learning how to do that. I can still be very selfish when it comes to wanting my time, wanting to do things my way, wanting to have control, wanting my husband to behave a certain way or my kids to behave a certain way. And for me, altruism is just showing up for them and being of service to them in any small way that I can. Right now, it's lovingly caring for two sick little boys. In the past, I would have whined and complained and been very unhappy that I was stuck at home taking care of sick children. But today, you know what? I accept it. And I am grateful to be able to be home with them and taking care of them today and not going to the food. I can face what life holds for me today. And, you know, that... that to me is a miracle. So it is. It really is for me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie W. Leslie W. got us started this morning with our study today from the doctor's opinion on page XXVI, paragraph 4, though we work out our solution. And now it's open for others to comment on that single paragraph today. Who would like to?
Gina R.
Lily M.
Robin W.
Robin
B.
Did I hear a Robin?
Donna B.
Did I hear a Robin? Perhaps not. Maybe it was Roz. That was Jaws there. Thank you so much, Roz.
Okay. Donna Robin H. Beatrice O.
Beatrice O.
Marina
C. Carrie
KB.
Rowena. Is that, did I hear Rowena?
Rowena.
Okay, great. That's all I can take for right now. So let's just see what I have. I have Gina R., Julie M., Roz G., Donna W., Beatrice O., Ginger C., and Marina K. I'm not sure that I heard all those, but that's what I got. Okay, so Gina, you're up, and then Julie will follow you.
Thank you so much, Melanie. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. And I loved Leslie W.'s pitch to get us started. And I looked up that word altruism and saw the same definition, but I saw something else that I guess I never really realized, but it's also an antonym for the word egoism. And so basically it is the opposite of ego. And we know that this is a process of reducing and right-sizing our ego. And the way I have been able to do that is through a weighed and measured approach to life. And it started with me understanding that my brain had to be befogged. And what that means for me is I had to get all of the stuff out of my body that was creating brain fog. And once I was able to do that, then I was able to really understand what my role and responsibility was in this so that I could actually be living out what God's will is for me. And I can tell you the first year I did this, I did not have good balance. I was way out of balance with program. And I know now that that was something that was necessary for me. I actually would say, you know, I feel like I'm binging on food prep. I'm binging on meetings. I'm binging on outreach. But that is what I needed to do to lay down new track in my brain, in my heart, in my soul, in order to prepare myself to live life fully. And now what this altruism looks like, you know, while I certainly do the work that I believe my higher power calls me to with respect to program, it is now branched out and I am able to offer love and tolerance and service to others in many other spheres of my life. And there is a lot of hurt people. There are a lot of hurt people out there. Some of them have the situation that we're dealing with on this line and others don't, but they're still hurting. And I get to show up and bring my recovered state of mind and body, a calm equanimity to any situation that I'm in. And I believe that I am being altruistic and I am transmitting that light and love of my God to others who need it desperately. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't understand this paragraph about getting my brain clear, getting those foods out of my system that were keeping me blocked. I'm glad to be here today, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina R. Julie M., it's your turn, and then Roz will come in after you. Julie M., star one, please, to unmute.
Hi, sorry about that. This is Julie M., recovered in Colorado. I'd like to comment on where it says, though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as altruistic plane. So our solution, we learn later, is connecting with a power greater than ourselves to restore us to sanity, to solve our problems. But before we can do that, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached. This tells me that I have to put down the food. And I've heard people argue about, well, I can work the steps, and you know, but I'm still eating this and that. And so this tells me right here that that's not necessarily true. On the next page, it says, as he has then a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. So I will better understand going through the steps. I will better accept what there is to be offered working through the steps if I put down the food, and only when I put down the food, so that my brain can be cleared. And I just want to say, I remember coming into the rooms and hearing people say, you know, I'm so grateful that I have this affliction. I'm so grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater, and not knowing what they were talking about, being resentful of that. And today I can say that I am so, so, so glad that I am a true compulsive overeater, because without this malady, I would never have come into the rooms. And I wouldn't have been given the gift of recovery and the connection with a power greater than myself. I never thought that that was even a thing. I didn't care about it. I hated religion. I hated all kinds of people who followed that. And now I see that religion and spirituality are so totally different from each other. And spirituality, having a spiritual connection, has given my life such a gift. Not just with being able to keep the food down, but in every aspect of my life. And the other reason I'm so grateful is that I've looked at myself in the mirror and hated myself and called myself all kinds of names, and because I couldn't put the food down and I kept putting it in my mouth even though I didn't want to. That gives me the ability to understand and accept my daughter in her drug addiction. And if I didn't have this affliction, I would be judging her. And instead, I'm loving her. And that is the biggest gift in my life. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie M. Roz G., you're up. Donna W. will follow you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service, Melanie. I'm Roz G., and I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in Los Angeles, California. And when I read this, it tells me that there's two ways that I'm going to live my life. One is spiritual, and the other is altruistic. But before I can live a spiritual and altruistic, my brain has to be cleared. And I, for so many years, 17 or 18, what, however long I've been around, I did not get that food has an effect on my brain. I just thought that food had an effect on my body, and that what it depended on what kind of food I ate and the amount of it would put fat on my stomach, because that's where I gained the weight. That's all I was concerned about, was where the food was going to lay the fat. Where was that going to turn out? I didn't know that food would make me have a fogged head, an unclear mind. And so I didn't get that. I just thought, well, this is for alcoholics. And when they get drunk, they get, you know, drunk, and they act the way they act, and they don't have a clear head, and they slur their words. And I had no clue of the biological factors that come into play when I ingest certain foods. They turn in, you know, they metabolize in certain ways, and I get a fogged head. And it has been proven to me, you know, close enough for me to remember that certain ingredients fog my head. And so I heard earlier, I took for granted the clarity of mind that I received when I abstained from those foods. It's kind of like taking antibiotics. After a day or two of taking antibiotics, I feel great, and then I don't take them. And what does the package say? Take the pills until they're gone, because if you don't, it's going to come back worse. And how many times has that happened to me in my Overeaters Anonymous program? So I do get this. I believe this is true. I believe that in order for me to live an altruistic and spiritual life, I have to have a clear head. That means every day I have to abstain from alcoholic foods that have an effect on my mind, let alone my body. And I, as the previous caller said, I'm so grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater, because I wouldn't trade my life today, my attitude, my emotions, the gifts that I've received through working this program, the fact that I can and that I desire to live an altruistic life, that I no longer desire to just collect more things.
Time.
And that, thank you, and that I want to live a spiritual life. Thank you, Melanie. I pass.
Thanks so much, Raj G. Donna W., and then Beatrice will follow you. Good morning.
Thank you, Melanie C. Happy Thursday, everyone. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. I'm really grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And so when I read Bowie work out our solution on the spiritual as well as an altruistic plane, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who's very jittery or befogged. So, sometimes I wish, I find food, our disease of food addiction, a challenge, because we need a minimum daily dose of our substance. And while I am eating abstinently, I can still be overly focused on the food. So I've been doing my best to say the first three steps before I start eating, and to stop and breathe while I'm eating, because I get really anxious around food. And I wish sometimes that I could just go to the hospital and have them cut out the food, and then I don't have to deal with it. And then on top of that, I have a lot of body image issues and body dysmorphia and fear about weight. So my disease shows up in a lot of ways. It's not just in those alcoholic foods, and I need to accept that. That is, for me, it's about really, I'm a compulsive eater. It's not just about the food. When I eat, I can get overly excited. And so I need some rigorous honesty to stay connected to my higher power around my food, even my abstinent food, and my body, even when I'm at a healthy body weight. So that means I get to work this program, be rigorously honest, and then most importantly, get out of myself, because all of that self-centeredness around my body is, all of that selfishness, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-reliance that I must be rid of or else it kills me. So that's where all that altruistic work comes in. So I'm really grateful to be abstinent and on the lines today and to be mobile and active. I'm not having a walk, and I'm really grateful for that, too. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. Beatrice O., it's your turn, then Ginger will follow you.
Hello, this is Beatrice O. From Los Gatos, California. Can I be heard? Hello?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay, great. So this is really important solution on the spiritual and as well as the altruistic plane. I think that on the spiritual level, I went to God and I had to be, for myself, I'm speaking for myself, I had to basically die to self. I had to come to the end of myself in order to, I guess, become abstinent or willing to let go of the food. And so there was, you know, I had to, and the other thing I had to do is, you know, I had a conceit to my innermost self that, yeah, I was a real food addict. I had to understand the addiction. And, you know, I have a real big ego. And I remember being in treatment and for food addiction, and they wouldn't let me join a group until 3 days in lockdown. And they do that for all food addicts that come into the program. So the other thing that I have to say is that ego never goes away. And I have to ask for God's will in my life every day, not B's will, but God's will. I have to have a God conscience. I remember, you know, because I've been abstinent many times, but I remember back in the old days, you know, I would get abstinent and all of a sudden I'm a know-it-all, which is my ego reexerting itself in disguise. It's a camouflage, like I think I'm carrying the message and what I'm doing is self-serving. And I'm still caught up in myself. So I have to, even in my prayers, I have to say, your will, not mine, be done. You know, because even my prayers can be disguised. It's all about self. God, meet my needs. God, do this, do that, do this. Instead of saying, God, what would you have me do today? Anyway, thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. Oh, Ginger C., it's your turn. Then Rowena K. will be after you, and then we'll open it up for some more. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, Mel. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line making this meeting happen. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love, again, these clear-cut directions. This book is so precise, and I have to just follow it exactly. You know, if you want what the first 100 got, do what they did. And this entire abstinence, this beginning for us all, we have to say goodbye to the food. And hopefully the food's convinced you. Every beautiful bite you've had to take, hopefully you're done, you're out of ideas, and you're afraid for your life, because this is life and death. And, you know, I've just been reminded recently, looking at a picture, the before and the after. And it is so unbelievable. This person in the past, I don't even know who that person was. So opposite of who I am today. Thank you, God, for this transformation. But again, it all begins with this entire abstinence, cleaning out, clearing out, because I have an allergy. Once I start, I cannot stop, and I always want more. And so I got to get to this clarity because, you know, I never saw it before in OA. It was only through this big book, and it was because of entire abstinence, those two words. And then people that are willing to help you to see these allergic components, looking at labels. I wasn't willing to do that in the past. I was not going to look at labels. you got to see what's in it. A lot of these labels, they lie. And it's like, yep, there it is. Maybe it's the 10th ingredient, but it's there and it's going to affect you. But most importantly, the last part of this sentence, you know, they have a chance of understanding and accepting. They have a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer if their brain is cleared. You know, when I'm eating, I'm numb, and most importantly, I'm blocked. I'm looking for ease and comfort in that food, and that's my most important piece. And I have to have that down, because then I start to awake and I may have a better chance, again, of understanding and accepting. And we want to give them the best chance possible. So I really hit this entire abstinence right from the get-go. And you will be uncomfortable. I will guarantee you. I lived in a hot bathtub. Thank God I wasn't working full-time, because I truly did. I think I took 3 baths a day. But it was so uncomfortable because I was in my skin in a way I had never been before. And I didn't have food as a solution to this uncomfortableness. So thank God there's other ways to go through, but you're willing to go to any lengths for victory. And how free do you want to be? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Before we call up Rowena, I wanted to let everybody know that we'll be able to offer a few more people a chance to share on the paragraph that we're on today, which is in the doctor's opinion, page XXVI, paragraph 4, that starts as though we work out our solutions. So if you want to prepare for that. In the meantime, interested in hearing from Rowena Kay. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. It's Rowena Kay from the United Kingdom. Thank you for letting me share. Yes, I've worked the steps whilst being in the food. I remember sharing a step 5 with a sponsor who was also in the food. And she fell asleep whilst I was sharing my step 5. And I was such a people pleaser at the time that I didn't even, you know, have the courage to tell her to wake up and listen to my step 5. But thank God I found a vision for you since then, which was quite a long time ago. What I get from this sentence is that a man's brain must be cleared before he's approached, because if I'm still in the food, I don't get it. My mind is befogged. I'm full of negativity. I can't hear the wisdom of the people on this line, and I certainly can't tolerate their recovery. And that's what I am when I'm in the food. So for me to try and work the steps, not abstinent, is not going to happen. I actually need to be entirely abstinent, and then I'm entirely teachable, and I'm open. The channels are open, and I can hear the message. You know, how long it takes me to get that message, is debatable. Or it's, you know, but as long as I'm open to hearing it, I've got a chance, a better chance than when I'm in the food. And this reading also reminds me of something I read in the AA 12 and 12 in step 1, which says that we ate to sate our fears, so we never grew. And that's always stayed with me, because I know that because of the food, I was never able to grow, because I could never hear the message. And not only that, but when I'm in the food, I can't see my part. And so there's absolutely no hope for me of getting any of this recovery. And I have to also say that I've been abstinent now for, this is my 8th day, but it took me one more binge, one more journey into the sugar to actually finally realize that I am powerless over this food. I just wish I could actually get the words across of how important it is for me to be abstinent working this program, because I know what I'm like when I'm in the food. And with that, I pause. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rowena Kay. So our study today is paragraph 4 on page XXVI, 4th edition, Doctor's Opinion. Would anyone like to comment for their study today on those that paragraph?
This is Emily.
Carrie KB.
I heard somebody. I heard somebody.
Robbie.
Hang on just a second until I get the person with the name that ends with H.
That was Susan H.
Hi, Susan H. Great to have that one. Okay,
Robert S.
Barbara S. Reggie. Sherry K. B. And Reggie.
Emily L.
Did I get Emily?
Emily L.
Donna
yes.
B. Gotcha, Emily. This is who I have. I only have room for five, I think. Perhaps six, but we'll go with five first. Susan H. Is it Barbara S., Sherry
yes.
K. B., Reggie O., thank you, and Emily L.? So, great. Thanks so much. Susan, you're first, and then Barbara S. will follow you. Everyone
Good
else,
morning.
Please press star one.
Good morning. This is Susan H. I am a recovered compulsive eater in Ohio, and really glad to get a chance to speak. I kind of came into the meeting late, and I was hearing all these wonderful shares talking about spiritual as well as altruistic and what they meant, and I'm so glad to get those. I'm more focused on the imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he's approached, that he has a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. As I understand it, abstinence is just the key to get in the door. And we need, what I have written at the bottom of my page is we need a spiritual solution to remain abstinent. And that comes from working the steps, so work quickly. That's back to the hair on fire thing. Work quickly to hang on to that abstinence and to find a higher power that can help. That is what I'm the most grateful for, that I'm not working it all out on my own or failing at it terribly, as I did for most of my life. I have someone to turn to, and I am very grateful for that. And thank you all for being here. I'll pass.
Okay, thanks so much. Susan H., Barbara S., you're up, and then Sherry KB will follow you. Barbara S., star one, please, and maybe Susan, you can press star one yourself for closing. One more call out for Barbara S., star one, please.
This is Barbara S., are you able to hear me?
I can now, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I'm very grateful to be on this line. I'm now on a bus, so I'm talking low with special speaker no one else hears. I've been in program on and off for a number of years, but recently, within the last year or two, came on to Vision for You, and this has been my blessing. This has been a door opening me up to see that God is there for me, and I have to have faith and be willing, and that this is a disease and an allergy. I had a procedure yesterday that I was fearful about, and I said, this is in God's hands, and this is really the first time that I said that in my life, and I feel blessed in my senior years to be in this program, start speak. I have to start making more calls. I don't do it enough, but very thankful for this program. God bless, and I'll miss.
Thank you, Barbara S. Sherry KB, it's your turn, then Reggie O. will come after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. Just going to jump right in here. It's interesting. Last night I was at my face-to-face meeting. We read this. And, you know, I looked up the word befogged, and I was kind of taken back by it. It does say confused, bewildered, muddled, made unclear in character. That's what really got me, made unclear in character, because, you know, for me, when I was face down in the food, you know, they talk about us being like Dr. Jekylls and Mr. Hydes. My personality is very different. I'm a very outgoing person. I like being around people. I love being social and all that. But when I'm face down in my disease, I isolate. I want to be left alone. I don't want to pick up the phone. I don't want to talk to you. None of that. And so I know that how important it is for my brain to be cleared of my alcoholic foods, that they have to be down. It's beyond me to understand that people that think that they can work the steps and still be in their alcoholic foods. It makes no sense to me, because if my brain's that messed up, because I know my brain gets very messed up on flour and sugar and other items, I'm continuing even to learn in abstinence. I'm learning that there's other things that come along that I didn't know, that I have to put down in order to be cleared, in order to work these steps, in order to really have an understanding of what this book has to offer and to what how my life changes due to working with others on the altruistic plane, which is, you know, helping others unselfishly and not wanting anything back in return, and, you know, showing concern for people and care, and how important that is. I've tried to do it the other way. I don't know about you guys, but I have definitely tried to do it the other way, and it's never worked. I never got through all the way through the steps, because I couldn't really hear it because I was still in the food. And so until I can, you know, until the food is down, it's imperative that the food is down, to understand what I can accept and use and work. And I know that the altruistic movement and the spiritual life, which is to me living in 10, 11, 12, and helping others, is what keeps me continuing to learn and grow. That's the only way I've found that it works for me. And I've been around the rooms a long time, and I've talked to some other people who have recovered who feel the same way I do. I don't understand, unless you're not a true compulsive overeater. I don't know that, but I know that I am a true compulsive overeater. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Reggie O, you're next, and then Emily L will come after you.
Hi, Reggie.
Hi, good morning again. Thanks so much, Melanie, for your service and Team Thursday and everybody who's on the phone this morning that makes this possible. You know, I was just looking at the paragraph before. It was read yesterday, the doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol. And that allergy to alcohol, you know, is it's an abnormal reaction, and the abnormal reaction that we have to food, that certainly I have to food, is a physical craving that gets set off, and it's a craving beyond my ability to control. And then it goes on to talk about, you know, our ultimate solution is on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane, and there's been a lot of wonderful things said about that this morning. And it's imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached, and that is to be cleared of the impact of, you know, for me, the alcoholic foods and the alcoholic food behaviors, which primarily for me is overeating. There are others, but that's the one that's been the biggest one for me, because that the physical craving would take my attention entirely away from the spiritual and the altruistic solution. So I have to get my brain and my body cleared before I'm able to really accept what the program has to offer. And I'm remembering when I had my first person take me through the steps in vision, and I called him, and I think it was on a Friday, and he said, well, yeah, he said, well, just, he said, if you're abstinent between now and Tuesday, you're not eating compulsively, and you still want to, I'll take you through the steps. So I got off the phone, I thought, you know, if I could be abstinent, I wouldn't need help working through the steps, you know, with these 2 or 3 days, because, you know, I didn't have a hospital or anything to go to and didn't really need one. But I was given the grace, you know, I wanted it so badly that I was given the grace then of what, you know, what these people were getting in hospitalization. And it just, you know, it just works those 2 or 3 days, and I've heard it said often. And here, you know, it's like the gifts are the desperation and the hope. You know, you come in desperate because I can't do this, I never have been able to. And the hope is we hear other people on the lines who have followed this solution, beginning with, you know, that first half of step one, and gotten abstinent, and how their lives have radically changed. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Reggie O. Emily L., you're next. *1, Emily L.
Can you hear me? Hello?
I can now, yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was on mute still. Okay, so thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share. And so this paragraph, I mean, the things that really do stand out for me is we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as altruistic plane. And then also at the end, just saying the whole idea of accepting what we have to offer. And, you know, for the whole idea of acceptance, that is really important in this program and was what really I struggled with. You know, I came in and I thought that I did accept that I'm a compulsive overeater, but then every step of the way, I realized that there was more acceptance that needed to happen. And even today, I am recovered and I experienced that neutrality over food, and I have gone through the steps and worked with a sponsor, and I'm sponsoring myself, but even every single day I still have to remind myself that acceptance is a big part of this program. Part of it was just accepting that I did have to find a new solution, accepting that, yes, that that spirituality was a part of that. I fought that for my life and never thought that I would find a place where there was a spiritual solution in my life, but compulsive overeating has led me to that, and this book and these instructions and this program. So, you know, the whole idea of acceptance, both the acceptance that we are compulsive overeaters and that our lives are unmanageable, I mean, that's step one right there, right? But then also just the whole concept of even just throughout the day, accepting that life, you know, the whole living life on life's terms, I mean, that concept is a lot deeper than it sounds initially. And that's really a big part of this illness and this disease, that we have trouble accepting. I mean, I'll talk more about my experience, because I know that it's that, you know, I was having trouble accepting, you know, this person wronged me or this happened to me, feeling like a victim, and I ate my way through that. And realizing that going to a new solution, leaning towards a higher power, you know, that is really, and this, the support of this program and putting other people and how can I be helpful? How can I be useful? And thinking about that rather than, oh, you know, obsessing about food all the time. That's what's giving me recovery. And I still sometimes have a hard time accepting that this is what it took, but I realized that I had no other option, and this has given me peace and serenity. So, I think that this is, you know, this whole idea, it's imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he's approached. And, you know, sometimes this is why this program is based on attraction rather than promotion, because if we try to promote this program, it might, you know, the people may not be ready or may not want what we have, or they, you know, it's important that people approach this program and really decide for themselves. So, okay. Well, with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Emily L. Thanks so much. We have time for about a 1.5 minute share. Would somebody like to take that, or would we like to just move on to close?
Terry C.
Patty. Terry C. Take your 90 seconds, madam. There you go.
Thank you, Melanie, and I'm so grateful to be on the line. This is Terry C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey, and yeah, I want to just back that up and say, when I read a man's brain should be cleared so he can accept what we have to say, that's a daily thing, because the one, you know, when I'm in the food, I'm into myself, and when I'm into myself and dishonesty, I'm into complete judgment of you, judgment of me, judgment of everybody, and if my brain's cleared, I can accept what you have to offer, what God has to offer, and I can be out of myself, just even for, you know, it's not going to be continual, because that's why I live in 10, 11, and 12. I get into myself regularly. So I'm just grateful, and I wanted to share that, and I'm grateful that I got to say that, because studying this book just gave me a new awareness this morning of that, that importance for acceptance, everyday acceptance, openness, to retain and approve what you have to say and what the book has to say and what God has to say. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's a nice way to close out this morning. Thank you to all that shared today and all that were on this team to make this meeting possible. Very grateful for that. We're going to begin the process of closing the recorded portion of this meeting, but as you know, we will continue for the next 10 minutes unrecorded, getting some very valuable information. So thanks again to everyone that shared. With closing here, I will ask Donna W. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only on page 164 of your big book, if you would like to read along, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer before we move into newcomers. Donna W., please.
Hi, this is Donna W., calling in from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.